Welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program that addresses issues faced regionally and nationally from a Central Coast perspective. This program addresses the need for and consequences of change and how today's choices impact tomorrow's community. Chris Kington Barker is your host this week, and she's joined by two guests. In our first half hour of the program, she will visit with Gabby Jimenez, hospice nurse, end-of-life doula, death and dying educator, and author. Then in the second half hour, Chris will be joined by Ryan Orr, entertainment director for Slow Brew and as a KCBX DJ, too. They'll be discussing an upcoming San Luis Obispo effort to support L.A. fire victims affected by the devastating wildfires in L.A. We're encouraging you to join the conversation today by calling in your questions or comments during our program at 805-781-3875. And with that, let's join Chris Kington Barker. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you, Brad. When disaster and devastation happen, it can activate a need or a desire to do something. Unfortunately, there can be an inclination to urgently respond to being helpful with the best of intentions and sometimes being taken advantage of in ways that don't end up serving the people who need the help the most. In our first half hour today, we're going to take a step inward to acknowledge the grief experienced by those directly affected by LA wildfires and others with a grief ritual. The remainder of the half hour will be discussion about when grief shows up and how it is sometimes too narrowly defined. Brad introduced my first guest, Gabby Elise Jimenez, as an end-of-life doula and a hospice nurse and an author. She also is a speaker, and her website and blog is The Hospice Heart. She is also a prolific Instagram poster. And welcome, Gabby.
Hi, Chris. Thank you for having me here.
Thanks for joining me. And I know you're joining me by phone today because you're in Northern California. And unfortunately, the devastation in LA area is not new to what you've experienced up in Northern California either through the wildfires.
Boy, that is for sure.
You've written several blogs and books about grief, and I appreciate you being here today. But before we get into a discussion, would you mind starting with a grief ritual?
Absolutely. I would welcome anyone who is listening to have a candle and a lighter and to go ahead and light the candle if you have it. And if not, I will light mine in your honor. Are you ready, Chris?
I am ready.
Okay, for all who are listening, I invite you to close your eyes and just breathe. You can place your hand on your heart and feel as your breath slows and your beat calms. Grief can show up in many ways, and it's not just about the death of someone you know or love. Grief is about loss. You can have loss of friendships, partners, relationships, a job, a sentimental item that someone might have given you. It could be your home, it could be your ability to hear or walk or move around as freely as you used to. Grief is about loss, and we each experience that in one way or another. Continue to breathe evenly and slowly, and elongate your inhale. Take a little while to bring it in, slowly releasing it, allowing your body to really lean in to this ritual. Right now, there are so many people that are grieving. In general, your personal losses, family members, loved ones, or other things that you are experiencing right now. And with the LA fires, that adds to the grief for those who have experienced it personally, for people who are living in fear and uncertainty, for all of us who have perhaps even a sense of guilt because that didn't happen to us. But there are also the people who this might have triggered, the people who have been involved in other fires, in other situations where this reminds them of that pain. Take in another deep breath, holding it for a moment, and release it slowly. Everything you are feeling is valid. Let's take this time to sit for a moment and send love and comfort and support to all who are struggling today. And today's ritual is about release. I want to help you, if possible, to release something that is weighing heavy. It can be related to the LA fires. It can be related to a recent death of human or animal. Or it can be related to something else that is causing you to feel a sense of grief. So what I want you to do today is think about a word that could represent what you would like to release today. It can be grief, it could be pain, emotional or physical. It could be sadness, fear, uncertainty, anger, guilt, stress, anxiety. Think of a word that represents for you something that you want to release today. And continue breathing. Breathing in slowly, releasing out slowly. Now in a minute, I'm going to ask that you blow out the candle that you lit. And if you didn't blow it out, I will do mine in your honor. But when we blow out the candle, I want you to go back to the word that we were focusing on. And when it blows out, I want you to say, I release you, and use that word. And the idea is that as you watch the smoke leave, and I'll watch it for you, is that that word, that sense of heaviness that you've been feeling is slowly releasing. And it might not all be released today. You can do this ritual every day. You can do it at home. You can do it whenever you are feeling the need to release. Just know that the sense of the candle and the fire and the light and the collaborative energy that we were all putting together today here right now will help to send out to the universe all of the positivity and hope that we need, the strength and the comfort that you need, and the love and the support that we're sending to all who are struggling today. Take in one more deep breath. Slowly release it. Open your eyes. And when you're ready, and I'm going to blow out mine, I want you to say the word that you were thinking about, and then say, I release you. I'm going to blow out the candle now. I release you. Suffering.
Thank you, Gabby.
You're very welcome.
I want to talk about when we have grief. Is grief different when we lose a person or an animal, a life? In other words, does it show up differently than it shows up if we've lost a house and all our humans are still here, or if we've lost ability because we can no longer do what we wanted to do anymore, what we used to do, or all the other things that you mentioned? Does grief show up differently for those things?
I think that's a really good question. I think we equate grief to death. And
yeah.
So that's a familiar feeling of grief. And I think it's only recently where people are starting to really realize everything that we grieve, such as the other things that I had mentioned. I don't think it's different. I think people take it less seriously. Maybe they're less sympathetic. Maybe they don't understand. How could you be grieving the necklace that your grandmother gave you?
Right.
It's just a thing.
Right.
But the truth is, all of this is things that matter to us personally. And when we lose it, that grief is real. I've heard comments about the fire. People are saying it's just things. You can replace things.
Right.
First of all, that's unkind.
Yeah.
But the reality is that loss is grief. I think it's all the same. It just depends on how it affects us personally.
When we talk about how people grieve and where they go in their grief, do people sometimes go to blame?
Absolutely. I think it's a combination of blame and guilt. You know, you have survivor's guilt, for instance, right? Why them and not me? I hear this often when someone dies. You know, I wish they would take me instead. Or they blame themselves for not caring enough or not being there enough or not doing enough. I think that blame is often wrapped around grief, but it depends on the grief itself.
We've had a lot of blame showing up with the fires from different people looking for things or causes to hold accountable. Could that be looked at as something that is part of grieving?
Yes, I think with any type of grief, I think it's easier for us if someone else can take responsibility for it.
Yeah.
Like, the doctor didn't give enough medication. The nurse didn't get here soon enough. There wasn't enough water for the fires, the insurance issues. There's so many things that we could do to say that this wouldn't have happened if. But that's not proactive, and that's not going to help us, and it's certainly not going to resolve our grief and anger. But it is a real reaction. I go there too. I think maybe in some way, if we have someone else to blame or something else to blame, we can feel less guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I think that that is a real emotion, but it isn't productive. I think we could learn maybe from this to get more involved, realizing that this, the fires, for instance, you know, this is not the first time this has happened. How can we do things differently? How can we do mm-hmm. things better? Maybe as a community, we can come together to find solution instead of insults and criticism.
You mentioned in your ritual that new grief is sometimes triggered by past grief. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I can only give examples for myself, but when
sure.
I was a little girl, my house caught on fire. And I was very little, and our parents weren't there. So my siblings and I were on the sidewalk watching as the house burned. I watched it burn to the ground. I will never forget that. I have a deep fear of fire. And I'm up north, so in Northern California, so I'm thinking about the fires in South San Francisco and the fires in Sonoma County,
right.
The fires in Paradise. Anyone who went through any of that, when this fire just happened in LA,
mm-hmm.
every one of those people are remembering. You can't help but go there. I see a fire and I'm right back to that sidewalk as a little girl watching my house burn down.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time I didn't understand the cost of a home or insurance or even belongings. But my things were gone. My home, the place that I felt safe, the place that I could count on, was gone. And my whole family life, everything I had gotten used to, had changed in that very moment. And I believe that anyone who is watching the news now and hearing about everything that's happening in Los Angeles is going back to a place of memory and a painful, difficult, struggling time for themselves.
And people who have a life change, a serious life change of everything changes, you hear people talking about, I don't recognize my neighborhood, my community anymore. I don't recognize where my house was. That was my job too. I don't recognize my employment and my home. That is compounding of loss, and it's significant loss. It's not just that they lost things.
No, and it's not just their home. You're absolutely right. The people in LA that just recently happened, so they've lost their home base, right? That's the safe place.
Mm-hmm.
But they also lost, like, schools, libraries.
Yeah.
Everything that represented who they are and what they do and how they raised their children. And it's not about who had more money than others. It's not about the movie star and the working mom who has two jobs. Their pain is, I wouldn't say it's exactly the same,
right.
But I do think their sense of loss is, this is an entire life that has been affected. And everything they did every day, their routine, their identity. And now there's thousands of people who are going through this. This is going to change their life for the rest of their life.
I'm Chris Kington-Barker with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX, your Central Coast listener-supported radio station. The voice you hear with me today is Gabby Jimenez, end-of-life doula, hospice nurse, author, and speaker. Her website and blog is The Hospice Heart. Gabby has joined me today by phone. You can also bring your comments or questions to our show by calling in at 805-781-3875. Gabby, when we talk about people wanting to do something, there's also the other side of that, of being really vulnerable to people taking advantage of them. And wanting to go out and immediately donate or get caught up in a GoFundMe or, you know, so let's talk a little bit about slowing down and being cautious and kind of taking inventory of those things. Did you see some of that happening up in Northern California?
Well, I'm seeing it happen now too. Yeah. I had a woman reach out to me recently who is from, I think, Australia, and she said, "Gabby, I have a house that's filled with furniture. I want to get all this furniture to the people who are struggling with their fires." And that's very kind. That is compassion, right? And I had a conversation that was realistic with her that that's not a realistic thing to do. I think that if you know someone and closely enough and you can gather clothing and items that would bring them comfort, please do that. That's a kind thing to do. But I think that right now, they don't have the place for the stuff.
Yeah.
And so I think if we keep compiling all these things and donating them, it might just be a pile of things that don't make it to someone who could benefit from them. I think there are some places that are taking in funds. I think that is good. I think you need to research it and make sure that this is a valid place. I do think money is going to be helpful. I think support is going to be helpful. I love that so many places have offered to, you know, house the animals, because there's so many animals that have no home.
Right.
Things like that. I think we need to really do some research. I do believe it's helpful. But I can also see how it could be really unhelpful.
Yeah.
And it's not, you can't just show up with, you know, 15 packages of toilet paper. You really have to figure out what is needed most and how you can help in that regard.
And go through vetted and, you know, authentic places who can take and distribute this stuff. We have a call from Charlie. Charlie, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. When you're talking about fire, probably 50 or so years ago, the school I went to, just down the house from me, is now replaced as Glenn Speck School.
Oh.
There was a fire, and one of the treasures they were able to retrieve, Miss Georgia Brown, was my school teacher, had stuffed birds in the hall, and people were able to get the birds out of there before it got to the fire.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I watched that as I was in either early high school or late grammar school. It was one of those really important thing. They are able to rescue that. Also, the thing is, the church I belong to took up a collection to send to some of the fellow churches that were burned.
How was that for you as a child, Charlie? Do you remember that?
Oh, yes. Yeah, as I say, I was watching school, and the school that I attended when I was in grammar school, it's now been replaced by, it's what's called Glenn Speck School.
Right.
Because when I was in school, Glenn Speck was principal of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of the schools in Paso Robles are named after teachers I had as a kid.
Was it sad for you to have that school blown down?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was relieved that our great, well, what hit me was sad to see the school go, but the relief I felt when people, fortunately, these stuffed birds were on the other side, and enough people got in and was able to get some of the treasures out.
Yeah, so it kept a piece of what that school was.
Why? Yes.
Yeah, I get that. Thank you, Charlie, for bringing that up.
Okay. Anyway. Okay. I think we got a great station here.
I do too. Thank you, Charlie. Bye bye.
Right.
So, I think a really good point here is that he remembers, which means that everyone who went through this now will never forget.
Yeah. The news story about the woman who lost everything in her home and the firefighters found her wedding ring that was passed down from great-grandmother to grandmother to mother to her. And that was the only thing that was salvaged. But that gave her a glimmer of hope. Those kinds of stories are just priceless.
And some people didn't have the chance. Some people weren't in the area when this happened, and they didn't get to go home and save one thing.
Right.
And that is going to, that's going to put a certain sense of heaviness, an additional sense of heaviness on their guilt and grief.
Yeah. Yeah. What, when we are dealing with people who have this kind of a burden, and we have family members or friends who are living in Southern California, how can we be emotionally supportive to them without saying kind of dumb things of like, well, at least you still got your family?
Yeah, that's a common, we do that in general. We get so uncomfortable with other people's grief and suffering that we tend to stumble over ourselves. I think what, and I say this to grievers or to people who are supporting grievers of someone who has died, is to never stop showing up and don't stop checking in. And on the anniversaries of this time, you know, to remind them, hey, I remember what you went through. Look how far you've come now. Or to just check in, you know, and most important advice I think I give for all of this is to listen, not to fix, not to judge, not to say how you would do things, and to never say, I know how you feel.
Yeah.
We don't know how anyone feels, even if we've been in similar shoes.
Right.
Just listen, to be there for them, let them know they're not doing this alone, and if at any time there is anything they need, to not hesitate to ask.
Is it helpful to just listen and to start the conversation with something like, tell me how you are? Tell me how your day is.
Absolutely. I think people are afraid to ask those questions because they're afraid of the answer.
Yeah.
I'm very straightforward. Okay, this really sucks right now, and what you're going through is awful. Do you want to just scream? Do you want to talk about it? How are you feeling? How are you navigating this?
Yeah.
What is going on in your head and in your heart, and how can I support you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When we get motivated to try and do something, it's trying to fix something. And can we actually get in and fix the loss that people are having right now?
No.
No. I mean,
no,
does a
no way.
Box of diapers fix it? It's helpful.
It's helpful.
Yeah.
And you have to remember, some people didn't have insurance. You know, a lot of people. Their insurance was dropped. So, well, maybe there's a famous movie star who has tons of money, and probably more so than most. That doesn't take away their loss. And if they don't have insurance, things aren't covered. So that alone sits heavy, right? But what do they need? What they probably need is a car to borrow until they can get a new one. Maybe rides to and from places. Maybe a couch to sleep on, or a bedroom to use, or just a friend.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's such a deficit of places to go right now. So if people want to be helpful, offering a place to sleep or to stay is something that is really helpful. Or if you know of a place for people to stay or sit, or B, that's really helpful too. It doesn't have to be something that you give. It can be that you're giving the time and you're helping to navigate to something that really helps lessen a burden.
Absolutely. I was thinking about people who have large pieces of property.
Yeah.
Like if you could donate a tent, right, and maybe some blankets and some bedding, and set up some tents for people to have a place to go to during this time, because they don't have a home, and probably every hotel in the area is booked, some of which are way too expensive. I couldn't afford to stay in a hotel right now. If I lost my home right now, I don't know what I would do. And so what I would want to know is that I have a place to lay my head at night, a place for my kids to lay their head at night. So if we could make that happen, if we could come together as a community and make sure that every person has a pillow under their head tonight, that's a good start.
Right, right. And thinking of ways from that perspective rather than just loading up trucks and taking them down to Southern California and looking for a drop-off. There's a lot of that, and I know it comes from the kindness of people's heart.
You're so right. But then they have to find a place for that. And people are doing the GoFundMe, but don't donate to that unless you actually know the person.
Right.
Because we don't know. And don't just throw out money there. Really find a way that can truly benefit and make a difference and
right.
a contribution for
right.
someone.
Adopting a family or getting to know a family or identifying through one of the agencies like Salvation Army or Red Cross, an actual family that can be helped through something like this is really going to be more helpful.
Yes. Yes, I love that idea of adopting a family. If there was an organization that could say, look, the people that lived on this street, here's a way to help them.
Yeah.
You know, and we have to come together. We, you know, we did this during COVID when everyone was suffering and struggling. We were reminded the importance of community. We need to do that again. We need to come together. And sometimes it's not about stuff or money. Sometimes it's just acknowledging the suffering.
Well, and it's about safety, wouldn't you say? Because right now, people can't possibly feel safe.
Oh, no. There's so much fear. There's fear and doubt and you know, worry and so much stress. I mean, it goes way beyond losing a home. It's bigger than that. It's an entire life change for thousands of people.
Gabby, I want to thank you for joining me today. I want to thank you for your ritual earlier. It was nice to sit in that. And your website is a great place for people to visit. Your books are available on Amazon.com. And I thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Chris. It was an honor to be here with you.
All right. And we'll be right back in just a moment with my second guest. And you're going to be meeting Ryan Orr, Entertainment Director for Slow Brew Live.
I'm Maria Hinojosa. Next time on Latino USA, the premiere of our new series, Hombre, Understanding Latino Men. Our first guest is political strategist Chuck Rocha.
There's a lot of Latino men who just don't participate in the process, who feel so left behind, and they work their butts off just trying to get by. Voting is the last thing on their mind.
That's next time on Latino USA.
On the next Fresh Air, for years it was thought that a Chicago police sergeant created the rape kit, a tool for investigating sexual assault and rape that has been instrumental in getting justice for victims. Investigative reporter Pagan Kennedy will tell us about the real creator, an activist who worked with runaway youth in the 70s. Join us.
China's answer to American tariffs might just be found in our neighbor to the south.
They're trying to make sure that they hire enough Mexican labor, Mexican inputs from local suppliers.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, Trade War Tactics, next time on Marketplace.
4 years ago, President Biden made closing Guantanamo Bay's prison in Cuba a goal. But now that looks unlikely to happen, disappointing those who consider Gitmo a national embarrassment.
Man, I mean, especially now that President Biden's a lame duck, I don't understand the politics of this at all.
The political and legal barriers to closing Guantanamo Bay, on All Things Considered, from NPR News.
That's ahead on our Thursday here on KCBX. Latino USA is coming up at 2 o'clock. That's followed by Fresh Air at 3, and then it's Marketplace at 4. Right now, let's return to Chris Kington Barker and her guests on Central Coast Voices. Back to you, Chris.
Thank you. In the first half hour of today's show, we touched on how grief is not limited to death occurring. Any loss or significant change can activate it. My next guest is Ryan Orr, Entertainment Director of Slow Brew Live. And he's joining me here in the studio to talk about Songs of Solace, an opportunity for folks to come together and support those affected by the devastating wildfires in Los Angeles. Again, you are invited to join our conversation today by calling us at 805-781-3875, and your questions and your comments will come on the air live. And Brian, talk about, first, how is it that you decided to do this event?
Well, first off, thanks for having me, Chris. I appreciate
it. My pleasure.
Love being in the KCBX studio when I'm not doing my own show, so this is nice. So Songs of Solace, it came about after we had a big New Year's Eve event, and I took a family vacation down south. We left on the 3rd. And so we drove through LA. Everything was absolutely normal, or, you know, as normal as could be. And, you know, all of that, all the fire happened while we were down in, you know, we were in Palm Desert at the time. And it was interesting because we had a couple different hotels we were going to, and I watched the occupancy just skyrocket.
Yeah.
And people with Dodgers hats and clearly, you know, displaced folks were checking in left and right. It was almost like, you know, just a huge wave of people showed up at these hotels where traditionally the first week of January, it's pretty slow, right?
Yeah.
And so I started talking to some of these people, and I'm originally from Orange County. I lived with my fiance at the time for 2 years in Venice Beach. So I have some very fond memories there. Spent a lot of time in LA as a kid, you know, just proximity to growing up in Orange County. But I got multiple conversations with folks that, you know, folks that had lost everything, and they knew they lost everything, and they were trying to grapple with the idea that, you know, the simple things like, you know, my son had soccer practice. A lot of them dropped their kids off at school.
Yeah.
And then it happened. They didn't have a chance to go back to their house and grab things. So, you know, their kids' soccer cleats, they lost. They have to go buy those now. Just the simple, basic things in life that you just sort of take for granted. Everything's gone.
Yeah.
I mean, we think about the important things, heirlooms, family documents, all that stuff that's obviously irreplaceable, and that's horrible. But, you know, the layers of destruction and loss that these families are feeling is, it's unfathomable. And, you know, I am one that I'm kind of just a very, I have a lot of energy, and I always feel like I need to do something when situations like this arise. And, you know, I put a text out just casually to all the friends of bands locally in this county that I could think of, just thinking, you know, I'll get a few that would be, you know, down to donate their time. Scheduling is tough to wrangle people this late in the game. We had 12 days lead time. And I got an overwhelming response. Every band I reached out to was on board,
really
wanted to donate their time. And, you know, unfortunately they all have an individual story of, you know, friends, family, colleagues in the music business that have lost, you know, everything. So it happened very quickly. It's, you know, it's rapid speed, like I said, to have that short a lead time, and to have 9 bands, all full bands, popular bands locally, playing in the same day. It's a huge undertaking. And then obviously the layer of raffle prizes and donations and stuff to help, you know, raise additional funds. That's a whole thing in itself. So we are working as a team out there at Rodenhammer Rock, and things are coming together very, very quickly. We have Suzanne Schoenig and Adam Montiel, which personalities have come on board to MC the event. You know, the Crush 92.5 got on board, as well as KCBX, obviously, and we're doing some stuff with KSBY. So the word is spreading very quickly. And, you know, I just feel like we're surrounded with so much love and support up here, and just makes me so grateful for the local community that, you know, we live in. We're just so very lucky.
Talk about when this event is going to happen. You said it's in short.
So Sunday, January 26th.
Okay.
At Rodenhammer Rock. It's on our main stage. The doors open at noon, and we just released the schedule. Music starts at 1 p.m. And, you know, there's, like I said, 9 bands. You have Chris Bieland, Ryan Delmore, the Zongo All-Stars, the Mother Corn Chuckers, Max McLaurie, Moonshiner Collective, Vibe Setters, Funk Junket, and Carbon City Lights. All those bands usually play, you know, big shows on their own.
Right.
But to come together on the same stage in the same day is, you know, I don't think I've only lived here for about 13 years. My wife is from here, but I don't think I've seen a lineup that incorporates like that large of a bill of local talent. And that in itself is magic.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're doing this for free. They're donating their time. Where is the money that's coming in for ticket sales going?
So we're working, Slowbrew Live is the promotion side of the Rodenhammer Rock. Rodenhammer is a whiskey brand, and they have launched a special release label, the Wildfire Resilience line of our straight year two-year bourbon bottles, and they're donating 100% of proceeds to that. So it's a $50 bottle. $50 goes to the California Fire Foundation for each bottle sold, and that is also where all the revenue for our ticket sales, the raffle donations, and any other donations on top of that will go to. So we're clumping it all together and donating to the California Fire Foundation, which has been around for decades. They're a vetted nonprofit that helps not only the firefighters and the families and first responders that are affected by, you know, loss or trauma, but they also directly support the victims of the, you know, all wildfires in California, right. But obviously specifically this one happening in LA right now.
That's fantastic. And the show goes from 1 o'clock till 8 o'clock?
At first I had said the end time was 8 p.m., but I got so many bands involved that the headliner goes on at 8:30. It's the Vibe Setters, so, you know, I figured Dante headlining it with his infectious energy will keep you wanting to stay and party on a Sunday night. So yeah, it'll end around 9:30. But it's nice because I feel like we have different pockets throughout the day of sort of like genre music, and, you know, fans that I think there'll be like a flow in and out of people that, you know, want to see this few bands. If you stay from 12 to 9, I feel like you deserve some type of medal, but, you know, that might happen. Who knows?
You never know. Do you have food vendors that are going to be there?
Yes. So The Rock will have food going until 8 p.m. Our kitchen opens at noon, and, you know, we'll have drink specials, food specials all day long. And then the beer garden outside, which is directly connected to the event center, that'll be open and ticketed. So you can hopefully, it looks like it's going to be a sunny day in the mid-60s. Let's hope that doesn't change. But you'll be able to, you know, stay outside if you want to, enjoy the sunshine, you know, have a burger and, you know, a cocktail or whatever you want to do, a mocktail. It's still January, so we might be doing the dry January thing, which I totally support. But
is this a family event? So do you invite children to join this?
It's all ages. Yeah, it's all ages. 12 and under are free, and we're allotting, you know, 2 kids per parent.
Okay.
So yeah, it's a family affair, and if you're under 12, then you get in for free.
Well, that's fantastic. I'm going to take a call here from Sarah real quick. Sarah? Nope. I think Sarah hung up. Yeah.
Sorry, Sarah.
Sarah, if you want to call back, please do. I'm sorry it took me a while to get to you. This event, you know, how, where is the, so the money goes to the firefighter, and what does this organization do?
So
did they distribute it?
So for the most part, it's the 3 different categories are, you know, the firefighters, the family of firefighters, and then the victims of wildfire. So, you know, they offer support in the form of therapy, stipends, clothing, food. If you head over to the cafirefoundation.com, there's a full bio on the company, the nonprofit, all of its history, what it's done. And you can kind of just follow along on what they're doing and how they're donating the money. Because it is, we were talking about it before my segment. It's important to understand that, unfortunately, there are a lot of fraudulent GoFundMes, charities that are popping up. And right. It's unfathomable to me that, you know, these people, fraudsters, take advantage of such a horrible time like this. But clearly it's happening.
And a lot of them are from outside the country. It's not even from here being in the U.S. because you can't tell. I mean, they're
you really can't.
You can't.
You can't. There's also a...
You need to go through something that's vetted and something that's legit.
100%. GoFundMe had... I was reading about this. They actually found so many fraudulent GoFundMes that were popping up that they decided that they put... They basically organized their own GoFundMe, and I think it's up to like almost $500,000 now, but they're taking the money and they're allocating it to all of the vetted personal GoFundMes of people that, you know, have lost things in the fire. So if you do want to donate to a GoFundMe, then it's called the 2025 Wildlife Relief Fund. And that one, I did a bunch of research on. I was going to use either that as the recipient or the California Fire Foundation, but, you know, both are definitely vetted sources. So if you feel like donating, you know, that's a good way to do it.
Okay, well, let's go back to Sarah here. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Hi, thank you for being patient and coming back.
No problem. I wanted to make some comments referring to the woman that you were speaking to on the previous
yes,
portion.
Gabby, of course.
Gabby, that was really nice. I didn't close my eyes because I was driving, but I did enjoy that.
Thank you for that. Thank you from everybody around you.
Yeah. But she mentioned that something meaningful that people could consider doing is providing shelter.
Yes.
And I wanted to bring up Airbnb.org. and what their efforts are, and how local Airbnb hosts here in our county could get involved and truly make a difference to a lot of these people that are have found themselves to be homeless.
I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, so I manage Templeton Vacation Rentals, and we are part of Airbnb.org, which is different than Airbnb.com.
Right.
Airbnb.org is a foundation, and they step in when there are massive emergencies, and hosts who have signed up with the program can either designate that their home is free for a vetted guest or a percentage off, and you can name that percentage however you want. I have a few homes that are at 50%.
Great.
Because I can't give them away for free.
Right.
As most people cannot afford to do that. If you can, fabulous. Even a room for rent. If you've got extra bedrooms in your home.
Right.
Airbnb.org is a great place to go and list that property and let them know at what percentage you're willing to discount.
Well, thank you for that, Sarah. That's really helpful. And I hope that people who do have extra space are willing to bring that forward. Thank you so much for calling back in.
I hope so, too. It's a slow time right now in the vacation rental industry.
Right.
So it's a great opportunity for our host to make a difference.
Thank you so much. And I hope they do. All the best to you, Sarah.
Thanks.
I didn't know about that either.
I've never heard of it before. That's great.
It's a good program.
So talk about the wildfire resilience. That's the alcohol that is going to be for sale.
Yes.
It's a special brew.
So we have our two flagships is our two-year reserve rye and then also our straight bourbon. And this is particularly, this is our straight bourbon two-year, and it retails for $50. And it's a custom label, wildfire resilience. And, you know, it's 100% of the sale goes directly to the California Fire Foundation. And we had a gentleman come in yesterday. He bought 100 bottles. And you know, that was because he loves IAS a lot. Yeah. We had to cover that inventory, but, I think they're flying off the shelves right now. And like I said, we'll have them available for purchase on the 26th. So that's another.
I love that. You know, you can give $50 to a place where you don't know where it's going to go, or you can buy the $50 reserve bottle. You bought somebody a Christmas present, and it goes to the Fireman's Fund. That's great. I think
I agree.
It's a wonderful way to go.
Keeps you warm on a cold night, too.
Exactly. I'm thinking I'm going Christmas shopping. I'm Chris Kington Barker with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio. You're listening. Listener-supported radio station. If you just joined us for today's show and you want to enjoy the entire broadcast, it'll be available on our website at the end of the day under the On Demand tab. Click on Central Coast Voices and you'll find this show with many other options to choose from. The voice you hear with me today is Ryan Orr, Entertainment Director for Slow Brew Live, who is in the studio talking about Songs of Solace, an opportunity to come together as San Luis Obispo County and support those affected by the devastating wildfires in Los Angeles. We have about 15 minutes left in today's show. We invite you to call in and join our discussion at 805-781-3875. Ryan, do you have a kind of an idea of what you might bring in with this effort?
Well, we're going through My 805 Tickets, which is it's the New Times ticketing platform.
Right.
Paul Irving, I have to mention him. He is an integral part of this whole process and how we've basically sped things up like lightning speed with our little lead time. Paul is he runs Big Big Slow. He's
right.
Big personality in the local music scene. He hopped on board to help me ticket this, and we're already pretty much half sold out right now. So
really,
500 is our capacity, and yeah, we're about at 250, and there's donations that have been placed on top of that, on top of the ticket revenue. So we're sitting at around over $3,500. Which is, for us, second day of sales is really good.
Right.
We are going to use our beer garden as a ticketed area. So if we do hit that 500 mark, then we have another 200 capacity outside. So that's a good problem to face if it really is, that popular. And I really do think we're going to get there. We have we have multiple music venues here in town. And I think people sometimes feel like we're in competition. But I am very good friends with Monty over at the Siren. I'm good friends with, Dan and the people that run the Fremont. We have more of an alliance than we do a competition here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been so awesome to come together and, for this cause, sharing and integrating all of our followers and fan bases and ticket buyers, to understand and be aware that this event is happening. So I just, again, want to just give a nod to our community here locally in the Central Coast and my gratitude for everyone stepping up and really being a part of trying to make this as big of a thing as it can be. It's remarkable, and I'm grateful.
And I think we need to note too that there has been so much devastation, bad feeling, depression that has gone along with the last weeks, that it may be time to come together and for people to join in music and have a little relaxation from that and do good work at the same time by donating to the tickets, by knowing that it's going to go to a place that is going to help people, and to kind of let go for a little bit and have a good time and listen to some great music in the meantime.
100%.
And say again who the bands are that are going to be coming.
So I just want to touch upon what you just said. There's the layer of, we're all gathering in a room and we're raising money and this is all happening. But music is, to me, the most powerful tool, most therapeutic tool.
It
truly saved my life in times of trauma. And, I do think you are correct that release, that emotional release, and just giving yourself permission to really just have those feelings, let them flow. It's important. It's very,
absolutely,
very therapeutic. And
not only as an artist, but I think I'm not an artist, but I'm an avid listener. And I think as a listener, music really does heal the soul. It touches the soul. So this is an opportunity to really touch yourself as well, and also to join with community.
I agree.
No, there's been so much dissension in communities. It's time to have something, and music can do that. Music can unite.
It transcends. It really does. Yeah. And it's interesting to see, like you said, there is, you know, there's a division that's happening. And music sort of, in a way, when you're in that room, there is no politics. There is no division. It's just, you're there together as one, enjoying something that, you know, brings you joy in the purest form. So,
and it's not about finger pointing. It's not about what wasn't done in that moment. It's about celebrating life and celebrating heart.
I don't think that I would have felt like this event could have gotten pulled off if we hadn't done the Jingle Jam back in December. That was Adam Montiel's event for Breaking and Entering, which is it's a thing he put together every year to just help, you know, kids that have had a really, really rough year and can't celebrate Christmas. Our lead time on that was about the same, and the room was absolutely packed. The community came out in full force. And I feel like, you know, just so much gratitude that we're able to provide that space. But the bands, it's starts with Chris Beeland. He plays at 1 o'clock, and then Ryan Delmore is at 1:45. Songo All-Stars at 2:30. Mother Corn Shuckers at 3:30. Max McLaury Band at 4:30. Moonshiner Collective at 5:30. Carbon City Lights at 6:30. Funk Junket at 7:30. And then the Vibe Setters, Dante Marsh and the Vibe Setters, close it out at 8:30 p.m. So wear some comfortable shoes and make sure
absolutely.
You hydrate yourself.
Is it one entry only, or can people come and go?
You can come and go. You can go in and out. If you decide you want to come in and check a band out and then go home for a little bit, you know, that's totally fine. It's odd for me to say that, but it is a long day. So,
it is. And it may be that you've got three favorite bands and they're spread out during the day.
Yes. Or bring the kids in the daytime and then leave them at home with the sitter. Who knows?
Exactly.
The sky's the limit. So,
what else would you like people to know about this event that we haven't talked about?
I think I've said it a couple of times, but you know, just having the opportunity to organize something like this and have it be well received as well as it's been received with open arms. I can't say it enough that we have a very special community here, and no matter what's going on in the world, I mean, it seems to me that the Central Coast has a way of bringing out like the best quality of life. And I'm not from here. So it's, it's crazy. I went to school in San Diego, grew up in Orange County, lived in San Francisco for about 13 years. And my wife is from Rio Grande. And when I first met her in New York, and she told me, oh, I'm from AG. I had no idea where that was. I thought I knew everywhere in California. But, moving here 13 years ago, starting a family, we have two kids now. If you know me, you understand how grateful I am for where I'm at and what I'm doing and just the support we have. So thank you again so much for everybody that's gotten involved and is just working so hard to make this happen. There's a lot of moving parts, especially with the raffle.
And long has Slow Brew been here?
Slow Brew as a music entity has been around for about 35 years. The third iteration is at The Rock.
Because I remember when I was downtown Slow, and I remember seeing Richard Elliott play in a really small venue when he was wearing parachute pants. That's how long ago it was.
Sounds like the mid-90s,
And it was a great concert. I mean, you had very limited people, but they brought in great performers even at that time. So,
all I knew of Slow was Slow Brew, you know, and when I first moved here, it was on the final stages of you know, developing into something other than a music venue, obviously a hotel. But when we first moved to The Rock, it was challenging to get people to understand, you know, our heart's in it. You know, it might not be downtown, but this is a place we're trying to create new memories in, you know, because everyone was really bummed about it
being outside big town.
But I really do think, like, we've gotten to a good place in the last 6.5 years. It'll be year 7 in July. So, thanks to the community for supporting us. And we just had our big New Year's Eve event, and that was like, it was all local lineup. It was the best one we've ever done. And I'm kind of still riding off that vibe. And now we get to, you know, an unfortunate time, you know, come together again and lift each other up. So, you know, I'm really very much looking forward to that.
Yeah. If this, you know, all goes the way that you've got planned, what is your wish for this event?
Well, it seems like a daunting task with everything that is needed down there and goods, financially, that you're like, well, are we really even making a dent at all in this?
Right.
And I have to look at it more so as, you know, the lives that we're touching and, you know, the mood change that's going to be happening from the experience. You know, what's the most we could raise? $15,000, $20,000. What's that going to do? It's giving us a way to show our support, you know, for
right.
people that don't know what to do. It's like, you can fill the trucks, you can do that. However you feel is best for you to, you know, take action. I don't know any other way besides organizing people and doing music. It's the creative outlet that speaks the most to me.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not going to solve all the problems down south, but, you know, it's part of, you know, the many bricks in the wall, you know,
yeah.
to helping
for,
them get
for
on
those, how much are the tickets?
Tickets are $20.
Okay.
And
wow.
you can donate on top of that. Again, it's my805tix.com, or you can go to slowbrew.com/live. And yeah, we wanted to keep it a fairly priced ticket.
That's a really fair price. Are
but
you kidding
have been
for
donating.
All of those bands?
I know. I didn't want to make it, you know, a price where it wasn't approachable.
Yeah.
And obviously there are many ways that you can donate, you know, on top of the tickets, you know,
right.
online or, you know, in person. So
right.
I figured just, you know, get people there and get them inspired, and hopefully they'll start opening up their pocketbook a little more. So,
well, if you can, you know, if you can afford the $20, come and afford the $20 and rock yeah. out to some wonderful bands. If you can afford more than that, make a donation more than that, knowing that it's going to go to a wonderful cause on top of it that's going to take it and really manage the money well. And who knows, you know, maybe people will give enough that you're going to be able to rock more than the $20,000.
I agree. We
yeah.
We did the Slow Food Bank fundraiser event concert for a few years in a row, and it was, you never know who's going to come in that door.
You don't.
We had a $10,000
donation.
Well, you
didn't expect the guy
time.
That came in and bought 100 bottles of $50
exactly.
brew. So,
exactly.
yeah.
So, and, you know.
Okay. Well, I want to thank my guests for today's show, Gabby Jimenez, and of Life Doula, hospice nurse, author, and speaker, and Ryan Orr, entertainment director for Slow Brew, joining me in the studio. Next week, Central Coast Voices will have, your host will be Lata Murthy, and she will have guests addressing making a diversity, equity, and inclusion impact on San Luis Obispo. I'm Chris Kington Barker, and thank you for listening to Central Coast Voices. We enjoy that you listen to us.